Several centuries ago, in what is today Germany, a child was born with congenital birth defects from which he would suffer for the rest of his life, severe birth defects. He was practically helpless from the time of his birth, but his noble family did the best they could for him until they needed further assistance. When he was about 7 years old, he was brought to a Benedictine monastery, which back in those days pretty much were the hospitals of their day, to be put in the care of the monks who tended to the sick. Although his body was badly broken, his mind was sharp. Barely able to move without assistance, he studied mathematics and mastered the disciplines of algebra, geometry, and calculus. He was very well versed in theology and scripture, music and astronomy, and had mastered Latin, Greek, and Arabic. He was, in short, a genius. Students came from all over Europe to learn from him, and his intellectual achievements were such that he was known as a wonder of his age. He wrote on history, on mathematics, and astronomy. He designed musical and scientific instruments, but he's remembered most of all for prayers that he wrote, one of which we're all familiar with, that we pray every time we conclude the Rosary, the Hail Holy Queen, known in Latin as the Salve Regina. His name was Hermann, but he's known officially in the church as Blessed Hermann the Cripple, who was born in the year 1013, professed as a monk in 1033, and departed this world in the year 1054. But if we could fast forward his life, say that he was conceived and born in 2013 rather than in 1013, his mother, a noble back in the Middle Ages, which they'd be like in the upper middle class, so he'd come from an upper middle class family, we could say. So she's pregnant. She goes to her OBGYN doctor and she has ultrasounds done to check on the progress of her baby. I'm pretty certain, almost definitely certain, that in this day and age, when the pictures of the ultrasound would have shown the extent of Hermann's deformities, his mother would have been advised by her doctor to abort. That happens very often. Keep in mind that ultrasounds can show only the development of the baby, but does not show the mind and does not show the soul. And if he would have been aborted, what a great mind and soul the world and the church would have lost. It makes me wonder, too, how many great minds, how many great souls the world and the church have lost because of abortion. How many scholars and scientists, how many statesmen and spiritual leaders have been sacrificed at the satanic altars of so-called reproductive choice. For decades, forces with money, with power and influence have been brainwashing our world with the idea that human life is cheap and expendable. Ideas that we're not responsible to a God, that we're not responsible for one another, that we're not responsible even for our own actions. Denying any supernatural spiritual realities, these earthly forces want to create a world where there is no God except for themselves, where there is no love, just slavish obedience to authority, where there is no personhood, we're just mere parts of a machine of their own making. This is true of many of the isms that we find in the world today, things like communism, terrorism, or globalism, and any other ism that always puts man above God, that divides human beings against one another, that puts money above morality, control above charity, and utility above human dignity. In the church, the month of October is dedicated to two things, to the sanctity of life and to the Holy Rosary. And those two things go beautifully together. Prayer, in particular the Rosary, which we should be praying often, helps to soften our hearts and to open up our minds to receiving, hearing, and understanding the will of God. It strengthens our soul's resolve to accept His will and put that will into practice. In the Rosary, what do? We think and we meditate on the life and the words of Jesus. We see how our Blessed Lady pondered those very words herself and acted upon them, how she gave flesh to the author of life and participated in His passion, His death and resurrection, through which He gave us life and mercy. In the Rosary, we pray that we too, can see the sanctity of human life, that we will value each human life from conception to natural death as a gift from God, and that we never forget the Lord's admonition that whatever you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do to me. We should not only remember the innate dignity of every human person made in God's image and likeness, but also remember that each of us, ourselves, is made in God's image. Each of us, with the abilities to think, to reason, to choose freely, and to love. These faculties, brothers and sisters, are given to us by God in order to lead us to Him. Our thoughts, our reasoning, our choices, everything, our love must always lead us to God, never away from God. In the second reading, St. Paul is talking to St. Timothy about his own ordination, but what St. Paul gave to St. Timothy through the imposition of hands was the gift of the Holy Spirit for that particular vocation. But in reality, all of us receive that same Holy Spirit in our vocation as Christians at baptism. So what St. Paul says to Timothy applies to all of us when he says, "Beloved, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you've received through the imposition of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice to shirk away from the powers of this world, but rather he's given us the power of God, the power of love, and of self-control. So do not be ashamed ever of your testimony to the Lord, but instead bear your share of hardship for the gospel of the strength that comes from God. Take as your norm, that is, take as your instruction and your guide, the sound words that you've heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard this trust with the help of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us." Now, you and I may sometimes consider ourselves useless servants, have not always fulfilled God's will, but rest assured, Christ does not consider us useless. He wants us to love Him and to serve Him and be with Him forever. He has given you and me the grace of faith and courage, as St. Paul says, to face the violence, the strife, and the discord of this world, as the prophet Habakkuk described. In his own words, "The rash one, that is the unintelligent and angry one, has no integrity, but the just one, because of his faith, shall live." By our faith, by our hope, by our love, and by our prayer, a great battle for human life has been won with the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade in our nation, and thank God our state has followed suit with that. But the war is far from over. There are still forces decrying the fact that abortion has been taken away. People try to stop us from our faith. They try to stop us from supporting human life and human dignity, but we have to press on. As Jesus would tell us, the Psalms tell us, "Harden not your hearts. Have no fear. Trust Christ in and for all things. Take as your guide the words of the gospel and the holy apostles in faith and in hope." This is something that Herman the Cripple's family did, and so did he. And because they and he followed Christ, because they followed the apostles, Herman's life became something that brought glory to God and enlivened the hearts, souls, and minds of people in his own time down to today. And that, brothers and sisters, is precisely what we as Christians are called to do. In everything, to glorify God, and in love, to build one another up in Christ. Never to harden our hearts, but instead to lift them up, ours and others, to the Lord, in faith, in peace, in love.